Good morning. It is always a good day when we have set it in our hearts to come and to worship God, to purpose in our minds that we are going to learn more about Him, that we are going to learn more about His love, and that we are going to try to become more effective for this great gospel that is to be preached in all the world. And that even though we may play just a small role or a small part in influencing the spread of this gospel, that we are going to do the best that we can to be the best representatives of God's message and of His Son that we can be with the time that we have. Time is so short, isn't it? And of course, Jesus' time on this earth had come to an end in Matthew chapter 28. He has resurrected from the dead, and He has spent some time with His disciples. And He had been, throughout His ministry, pouring Himself into His disciples. And that's really what discipleship is all about. It's not about pouring myself into somebody else, but it's about pouring Jesus into others. And He had done that. And now it was their time to mature, to be able to adjust their lives even more so that they could spread this gospel and that many others could become disciples. So in Matthew 28, and beginning at verse 16, the Bible says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" And I always find this interesting because when you think about what He has just said, you know, your mind could be running, okay, now that He has all authority, now that He has all power, what is He going to do? What's going to be His first command? What's going to be His first order? What's of first significance now that His kingdom is about to take place and people are going to be living this kingdom life, if you will? What is He going to do with the world? Is He going to address certain issues around the world? And interesting enough, of first importance, of course, is what we see in verse 19. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations," not just in Judea, not just in Galilee. But He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. What I did to you and for you, I want you to go out and I want you to do the same." He says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This morning, we want to talk about this idea of living a life that we have this faith on display for everybody to see. That might seem a little strange or a little odd because especially nowadays, everybody's just so private about their lives. But when we get online, we're not so private. But we do live in a time where, you know, people are not as open and not as welcoming as they used to be. I remember having a conversation not too long ago with a family member. We were talking on the phone how things have just changed. And how we can remember growing up and you know, you could, in your neighborhood, everybody was outside. You know, everybody, you could see the kids playing. You could see your neighbor sitting out in a lawn chair, maybe cutting the lawn or maybe drinking a glass of lemonade and just having conversations. And you can go, you know, down the street and you could, everybody would say hi. And you really don't see that anymore, do you? Times have really changed. And I'm not talking about because of the virus. This has been prominent even before that. But people are not as open, and people you know, seem to be you know, more introverted nowadays, don't they? But that doesn't change the importance of living a life having this faith on display for all to see. Let's go to the book of Matthew this morning, chapter 5. Let's go back now and look at some of Jesus' ministry. And this really is our key text, Matthew 5, 14 and 16. 13 is good too, but we want to focus more on verses 14 through 16, I should say, of Matthew chapter 5. And as Jesus is on this mountain, he's giving this sermon on the mount, as we sometimes identify it or call it. He says something that might seem a little peculiar, right? In verse 14, it says, you, he's talking about his disciples, not just the 12, but those, who are there on this mountain, those who are listening to him, those who have adjusted their lives to follow him. And Jesus, of course, makes it known, not just here, but throughout his ministry, that just following me and listening to me is not the extent of discipleship. But there is a responsibility, there is a duty placed on you to live out these principles, not just to take these things and go to the market and talk about it and debate it, but I want you to actually be a living embodiment of what I'm talking about. And that, of course, changed a lot of people's lives. But he says, you are the light of the world. You can imagine there are some Jews there who are probably saying, well, yeah, I certainly am, right? Child of Abraham, right? And descended, I can trace my genealogy and get all these pagans out here. Yeah, I am the light of the world. And that's really not what Jesus was referencing there. But they were the light because we see early on in his ministry, that as he moves to Capernaum and sets up camp there, that the people sitting in darkness have seen a great light. He was that light, right? And now this light, of course, is shining to his disciples, and it should be shining in his disciples. So he says, you are the light of the world. Now notice this. He says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. What is he getting at? Right? He says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives, and gives light in all the house. Now let's go back and read that again. Verse 14. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Especially at night when the lights are on, right? Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. He wants his disciples to focus on the purpose of light, right? Light is meant to be seen, right? I think that's a common principle. Everybody understands how light works, right? You remember in the beginning when God said, let there be light. And then he made the lesser light to rule the night and the greater light to rule the day. And he made the stars also to give light on the earth and all. Light is meant to be seen. And then he says, you are the light of the world. You are meant to be seen. Just like the city that's lit up at night on the hill. If you were traveling in the desert, you were traveling far away somewhere, they didn't have all the modern technologies that we had. And by the way, in a lot of ways, people in ancient times had more common sense than we do nowadays, even though we have technology. But a light, even from a far distance away, would be able to guide people to where they needed to go, especially if they needed food or water or shelter or place to stay. Jesus says, just as light is meant to be seen like a city on a hill, or like when the house is dark, maybe at night and morning light is coming and you want to light a candle or light a lamp and it gives light to the whole house. That's why it was lit. To give light in the whole house so you can see where you're going, you can see what you're doing. And light, of course, helps us throughout dark times. Jesus says, in verse 16, in the same way, just as light is meant to be seen, let your light shine before others. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. We don't do that. The times are different now. Right? We don't live our lives to be seen by others. In fact, I don't even really say hi to anybody, because if I say hi, they're going to want to strike up a conversation with me. Then they're going to get to know me a little bit more. They're going to know a little bit more about my private life and my kids and this and that and my beliefs and my politics. I don't want that. What if they ask me about church? Or what if they ask me about the Holy Spirit? Or about this biblical passage? I don't know. You know, I don't. When I go out to eat, I don't have to pray in public. I don't have to bow my head. I don't have to let people know that I'm a Christian. God knows my heart. Those are some of the things that we say sometimes. You know. But Jesus actually says the opposite, doesn't he? He says, let your light shine. Right? If we have light within us, excuse me, then we should let that light be seen. Right? So he says in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Light is meant to be seen. Now again, Jesus isn't saying live our lives in such a way that we draw attention to ourselves and then that's the end of it. Now notice, he does want us to draw attention to ourselves. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is that as people see what we're doing, and as they see the kinds of people that we are and how we are influenced by what we do and what we say, that their attention is drawn or shifted to us, and they say, why are you like that? You're a really nice person. You're too nice. Or man, you don't curse, you don't swear, you don't drink, you don't do this and that. What's going on in your life? And then, of course, he says that they may give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What a marvelous God. What a wise God. That's what Moses told the people of Israel. If you follow these commands and these principles, and all the other nations will say, man, you guys are really privileged to have a God like this. Is a wise God. But unfortunately, many Christians do not live to let their light shine. And they just kind of blend in with the rest of the world. Jesus says, if you're my disciples, just like a city on a hill, and just like a light that is lit in the house to illuminate, in that same way, let your light be seen. Let it be known. People should know that you're a Christian, not because you are trying to draw attention to yourself so that you yourself can be magnified and elevated and people can magnify you. No. Unfortunately, some do that. But that so others can see and glorify God. That's the kind of faith that we're talking about. A faith for all to see. And that, unfortunately, is the reason why some do not become disciples of Jesus Christ. But we must live our lives with the anticipation of being noticed, of being seen. That doesn't mean that we're like the Pharisees and we sound a trumpet before us, right? I'm about to go into the gas station and get gas, and I want people to know that I'm a Christian, and I blow my trumpet. No. But that each day of our lives, we're cognizant of the fact that, you know what? I am going to be around people who are not Christians, and I really don't know what to expect. And I don't know what the day is going to bring, and I just want to be able to live my life in a way that I can draw attention to Christ. And of course, there are many ways to do that. Lord willing, next Sunday, if the Lord wills, we'll get into some specifics about that. But Jesus says, let your light shine. He didn't say, take your light and hide it under a basket, right? But let it be seen, let it be known that you are a Christian. And sometimes we encounter people like this, who are very open about their faith. How often have we gone to the store and maybe we don't want to draw attention to ourselves and, you know, well, good morning, how you doing? You know, we have small talk and then we pay for our groceries at the store. Oh, have a good day. You too. And then we walk off or even before we walk off, maybe we're in line behind somebody else. And maybe they're having a brief conversation, making small talk with the person who's ringing them up. And they say, good morning. How you doing? Good. I'm having a blessed day. God has really blessed me today. And you're kind of taken aback by that. But wait a minute. I'm a Christian too. Why didn't I say that? Right? But there are some who are like that. You know, I'm having a blessed day. God's blessing me. And as they leave, instead of saying, have a good day, they say, the Lord bless you too. You know? And I'm not saying that you have to talk like that. But I'm saying that that sometimes is a way of letting your light shine. Right? Again, not drawing attention to yourself, and that be the end of it, but drawing attention to the fact that God or Christ and His law and His word lives in me. And I'm not afraid to talk about that. I'm not afraid to talk about those things. Man, you have such a good marriage, and what's the secret to your marriage? Well, I tell you, we always keep things out in the open. We never fight. Well, Jesus, He's the foundation of my marriage. That's a way of letting your light shine. Again, that's just one way. But the fact is that we're being mindful that we are God's people and that we should let our light shine. Look at the book of Titus chapter 2. And this is exactly what Paul is writing to Titus about. If we are God's people, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ, then we should live our lives in such a way that proves that, that shows that, to where we let our light shine. And so in Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Paul says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, and to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled or blasphemed." That means that we are living in such a way that the light is shining in us, and that we have embraced that. Look at verse 6. "Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself." Let your light be seen. "Show yourself in all respects to be a good model of good works, and in your teaching, show," there's that word again, "integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." Watch out for those Christians, boy, I'll tell you. That's a backward group. Oh, stay away from those guys. Those guys are dangerous. You know, those guys cannot be trusted. Now, wait a minute. Have you actually seen a Christian in action? Well, no, I've heard about them, but let's go look at some of these guys. Let's see what they had to offer. Let your light shine, right? What I was told is different. You know, these guys are sincere, right? I want to know more about that. He goes on in verse 9. He says, "Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith." That is, they're not able to show their faith by expressing in the way that they talk about Jesus. "Oh, I love Jesus," and "Oh, God is great," but actually demonstrating it, right? Making it practical. You say you're a servant of Jesus Christ. You say you're a disciple of Jesus, but look how you're acting when you're serving me. You're working for me. You're not really a Christian. Paul says it is imperative that we allow the light to be shown, to be seen in how we live. It is critical that as we go out in our community, and as we go out about our lives, that we show that we are genuine disciples of Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 10, "showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior." Interesting enough, sometimes we put so much emphasis on what we wear, don't we? We want to make sure that everything is perfect. Why? Not because we want to look good to ourselves, but because we want others to see. And in some respects, that could be vain. But we want to look good. We want to look good for the occasion. We want to look good for when we go to work, or we want to look good for that special someone in our lives, or whatever it is. But the fact is, we want to be seen because there's a purpose behind that. Right? And the same thing is true about adorning the gospel of Christ, that we put it on, not just talk about it, but that we're living and that we're showing ourselves to be that light on the hill, or that we are showing ourselves to be that lamp in the house that illuminates, that gives light, because light is meant to be seen. If I'm in a crowd of people, I'm not saying again that I have to do backflips to get everybody's attention and say, hey, I'm a Christian. But people should know that I am different, and they should know the reason why. And so Jesus says, let your light shine so others may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Paul says, let's live as though the light is within us. But what is it about the life of a disciple of Jesus that causes the light? Again, we have to remember that. It's not ourselves. It's not because we've had such a submissive attitude and a disciplined mind that we've been able to surrender our lives to God and it just worked out for us that way. But again, the source of that light is Jesus. And so let your light shine before others that they may see your good works. That's what causes the good works, is that Jesus is in us. But it is this faith that we have in the gospel of Jesus that we are living our lives in such a way that shows others that we are different, that shows others that we have hope, that we have a genuine purpose in life, and that this gospel message gives us a superior moral and spiritual compass in our lives, and we aren't just talking about it, but we're actually living it. Now, Israel in the Old Testament had that privilege, didn't they? Look at Ezekiel chapter 5. They were the first in the world as a nation to be given this privilege of being a light to all the other nations. And of course, they spoiled that, you know, unfortunately. Out of all the people in the entire earth, God chose them, again, because Jesus would descend from them. But I want you to be a light to the nations. I want you to be different. Because for the most part, all nations on the earth were pretty much wicked. They were godless. And Israel had been given not only the knowledge of the one true God, but they had been given evidence. He spoke to them. And he spoke through Moses. But they spoiled that. In Ezekiel 5, beginning at verse 5, thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. Again, Jerusalem is the city of the great king. It's where God's people dwelt. But he says, I have set her in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. And she has rebelled against my rules. You're the centerpiece, not just in the region around Jerusalem, but you are the centerpiece of the world. All the nations are around. Everybody's watching you, and you're going to represent me, and what are you going to do? Well, she's going to do the opposite. Verse 6, and she has rebelled against my rules by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries all around her. For they have rejected my rules and have not walked in my statutes. Wednesday night we're doing this series on suffering. We talked about how God has been suffering too, and God has been grieved. And you can imagine that how God is sitting up in heaven and He blesses these people, Israel, and He gives them this favor. And what do? Not only do they rebel against Him, not only do they choose not to be a light to the nations, but they become even darker than the nations surrounding them. Right? God wasn't going out like that. But we have that same privilege today, don't we? We have that same privilege of being a light to the nations. And again, Jesus is the source of that light. Look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, which really is talking about our Lord. he says in verse 1, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen whom my soul delights. let God take it from the cross since he delights in him. Remember that? I have put my spirit upon him. And he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. And that law has been given, hasn't it? Verse 5, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens, who stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. And indeed he was. To be open, or to open the eyes of to those who are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison those who sit in darkness. Jesus would actually quote from this. Remember when John's disciples would come and say, are you the one we've been looking for? And he would quote from this passage, right? This is talking about me. I'm the source of the light. And Jesus would oftentimes refer to himself in the book of John as being a light to the world, that the world is in darkness. Again, going back to creation, the world was in darkness, right? There was void, there was darkness, and God said, let there be light. And that light is still shining to this day. The world, creation, could not have functioned properly unless God had given that command. We would be in turmoil right now, right? We wouldn't be able to really exist on the earth. But that same thing, that same principle is true. We can't really exist. We really can't live the kind of life God wants us to as long as we live in darkness. And so Jesus came to be a light to bring us out of that darkness so that we could live a life, as John writes in John chapter 10, in verse 10, he came to give them life that they may have life more abundantly. And we have that privilege now. We have that duty to let that light shine within ourselves. In the book of John chapter 1, John talks about this in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Verse 11 says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now imagine if Jesus did come to the earth as a light, but he hid that light. Imagine if he just stayed in Nazareth. Or imagine if he did go around, but he only spoke to people privately in their homes about Christ. Imagine if he really didn't do miracles, maybe just minor miracles that didn't really make an impact. You know where I'm going with this. But when he did come, we saw the glory not just of Jesus, but the glory of God working through him. And that's why massive crowds were drawn to him. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As his disciples, you know, we have this kingdom life that you and I are supposed to be living. And as we embrace the principles and the teachings of this kingdom life that Jesus has given to us, we're giving a living testimony, aren't we, to the greatness of God, his Son, and his kingdom. And living by this kingdom life provides us with the light necessary to do a couple things that I want us to look at, and the lesson will be yours. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, disciples live this kingdom life that Jesus talked about. The kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like that. Everybody was in anticipation of the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is about shining as a light to the world and letting everyone see the wonderful privileges and promises that God has in store. But living by this kingdom life provides the light necessary to grab people's attention. To grab people's attention. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Now, the context of this scripture is talking about the idea of living for God while suffering. But again, the principle is the same in verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Or some versions say, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Whenever we hear that word sanctify, our minds immediately go back to the Old Testament, right? Because there were things that were sanctified in the temple. There was things that you could not use on an ordinary basis in your life because it was holy, it was sacred to God. And Paul says, in our relationships with Christ, as his disciples, we should sanctify him as Lord in our hearts. And if he is Lord in our hearts, if we are allowing him to have control of our lives as we surrender to his teachings and we embrace his principles and his morals, then what can we do? We can always be prepared to make a defense or give an answer to anyone who asks us for the reason for the hope that is in you. Why do you keep pressing on? I mean, you've been through a lot. What makes you so strong? Well, I've got good genes, or well, it runs in the family. That may be true. Because of my Lord. I'm not a perfect person, but I've been through some trying times, and I've leaned on the Lord. And I try to live for him. You can give hope to somebody else without even really going into detail about the gospel message. That can come a little bit later. But our first priority is to let our light shine. And that's what he's saying. Here are people who are suffering. You're being persecuted. Why do you not denounce Christ? And I've sanctified it in my heart. So I'm ready to give a defense. I'm ready to give an answer. But how should we do that? Well, he says with gentleness and respect, or some versions say fear. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Really don't have anything to say about these guys. I was wrong. We'll see how strong your faith is when this happens. Wow, you didn't budge. You're serious about this Jesus thing, aren't you? I want to know more about that. But sometimes we never give that process a chance. Because we don't let our light shine. So living by this kingdom life provides the light necessary to grab people's attention. And then, of course, finally, it provides us with the opportunity to let others glorify God. And we see that going back a chapter in Peter, chapter 2, and beginning at about verse 9. And then the lesson will be yours. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let your light shine. Do you see what God has done for you? He took you out of darkness and put you in his marvelous light. Now let that light shine. Verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify God on the day of visitation. Sometimes we think, well, I want to live a life that's comfortable. We don't like to be inconvenienced. Was Jesus inconvenienced when he was in heaven and he had to come down and put on the flesh? Absolutely. Was Jesus inconvenienced when he had to break down things that were meticulous and detailed and beyond human understanding so that unworthy humans could understand it? Absolutely. We can go on and on and on and on. Was it inconvenient for him to be spat upon? To be slapped? To have nails driven through him? The whole life and ministry of Christ certainly was inconvenient, but it was worth it. Let our light shine. We may be inconvenienced in the process, but again, the end goal is not so that we can be seen, but so that God can be glorified. That is a challenge, isn't it? Let your light shine in such a way that others may glorify God. Hopefully you will accept that challenge this morning as we stand and as we sing.